Amen. Malachi chapter 3. Everybody that's able, if you've got a Bible in your hand, go there with us. Amen. If you've got the app on your phone, you can go there as well. If not, we have it up on the screen today. Praise God. Malachi chapter 3. Again, welcome. Welcome to everybody today. I love you. Appreciate you. Amen. And thankful for amen. The blessing of the Lord. Praise God. Are you ready for His word today?
Amen.
Amen. Are you ready for His word today?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Malachi chapter 3, verse number 1. Everybody have it? Say amen.
Amen.
Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and a fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Amen.
Amen.
Welcome to the last of the shofar. I want you to give the Lord praise for his word. Amen. At the same time, come on, let's bless him today for, amen, the faithfulness of his word today.
Hallelujah.
Praise God, praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We magnify you today. We break through, Father. We're thankful this morning, God, that your word is established. We thank you, God, that you have given us an opportunity just to be a vessel, Lord, to be an instrument of mouthpiece, God, to receive your praise this morning for every heart that is here today, God, with your tender. Reveal yourself. We thank you this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Amen. Praise the Lord. And if the Lord will allow me, I'm going to minister on this song. Look, here he comes. Amen. Look, here he comes. Look at your neighbor and say, look, here he comes. Amen. Praise God. One more time. Look, here he comes. Praise God. The King James uses the word behold. Amen. And we know that anytime the word behold is used, amen, it is amen, a preemptive way of saying you're about to see something, amen, that you've never seen before, or that you did not anticipate, or that you did not, amen, expect. That word is translated in the Hebrew as the English word look, amen. That Hebrew word for behold, amen. So he says, look, in verse number 1, I'm sending my messenger, amen, to clear the way before me, amen. We know, praise God, that this chapter is talking about, amen, the coming Messiah, amen, talking about Jesus, who was going to be, amen, the fulfillment of the prophecies that had already been, amen, spoken, praise God, in days past, amen, that there would be a Messiah. We know that Malachi was the last prophet, amen, whose words were written. We also know that there was about 400 years of silence between, amen, the book of Malachi, amen, and Jesus coming, praise God, on, amen, into the world and taking on, praise God, the flesh. Hallelujah. But he said, look, I'm sending my messenger to come before me, or to clear the way. Amen. That messenger we know was John the Baptist. John the Baptist was the forerunner of Jesus. Amen. When Jesus came, amen, into the earth, praise God, he was born as a babe. Praise God, he was the Word made flesh. He was born as a babe, wrapped in swaddling clothes. He grew up until he got about the age of 30, which was the age, amen, that a priest could officially begin, amen, his work. And so at the age of 30, he began, praise God, to move into, amen, the mission and the purpose that God had sent him for. Amen. So John the Baptist led the way, cleared the way before him, being 7 months older, amen, than Jesus. Amen. that Messiah will suddenly come into his temple. Amen. John the Baptist told them there's coming one. We know he was called John the Baptist not because he was Baptist in denomination, amen, but because he was the baptizer. Amen. He was the one, praise God, who, amen, was baptizing the people, and he was preaching, praise God, a message that there was coming, amen, a Messiah. And he said, when he comes, I'm not even worthy to stoop down and unloose, amen, his sandals, because he'll baptize you. I baptize you with water, but when he comes, he'll baptize you, amen, with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Amen. And when John was in the Jordan baptizing, praise God, we know Jesus, amen, began to come. Hallelujah. He was making, praise God, if you will, amen, that sudden appearance. And John said, look, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Amen. So he came suddenly into his temple. Suddenly he showed up. They weren't expecting it. Amen. Praise God. But he showed up at God's time. How many has ever had the Lord, amen, just suddenly show up when you weren't expecting him, but he showed up, amen, and he manifested, hallelujah, the goodness of God in your life. Hallelujah. Amen. And so the complete Jewish Bible says it like this. Can you turn this down on the monitor just a bit? I'm getting some feedback. Amen. The Jewish, a complete Jewish Bible says, look, here he comes. Amen. Here comes the one who's going to change the dynamics of life. Here comes the one, thank you, who is going to suddenly come into his temple. Look, here he comes. Isn't it interesting? Amen. That this was before Jesus was even born, before Jesus even came to the earth. Amen. But the prophet, amen, prophesied and said, look, here he comes. Hallelujah. I want you to hold on to that for just a minute. Now, if you would pull up verse 2 for me, amen, again. This is the verse that the Lord that brought me into this message today. But this verse says who? Amen. Talking about when, amen, the messenger comes, when this Messiah comes, when he shows up, when he suddenly appears, amen, or comes on the scene. Hallelujah. It said, who can abide the day of his coming? Amen. Who can abide the day of his coming? Can I tell you that the day of his coming, amen, is not a reference to an actual appearance. Amen. I want you to stay with me for just amen, a few minutes this morning. The day of his coming. Now, we have already established who's coming, right? It is Jesus the Messiah. Amen. But I want to look here, amen, at the words of the prophet and the context in which these words were written and who they were written to and when these words were prophesied and spoken. So the day of his coming, who may abide the day of his coming? That day of his coming is not a reference to an actual appearance. See, we're so used to, amen, the words, the second coming, amen, and the appearance of the Lord in the skies. We're so used to when we hear those words, his coming, amen, that we instantly go, amen, to the second coming. Hallelujah. As a future event, that we automatically reference this to the second coming of Jesus. I know many have preached, amen, in the context, praise God, that this is exclusively, amen, the second coming of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. So we're so used to when we hear, amen, those words, his coming, and we hear the second coming, or we hear, amen, of the Lord appearing in the skies, that we think of that future event. Hallelujah. But what we have to know is that this is an ongoing prophecy. This is what is, amen, considered an ongoing prophecy. Amen. This is a prophecy with a fulfillment in time, in the time that it was given. Hallelujah. But also a picture of a future event. Amen. So this was not just a one-time happening. Are you with me? Amen. This is why it is not a reference to, amen, an actual appearance. So this is an ongoing prophecy. Again, a prophecy, praise God. Amen. That is a fulfillment. There is a fulfillment in the time that it was given. In other words, it would be fulfilled within this time, but it also is a picture of a future event, because you see this, that Malachi prophesied, amen, in verse 1, hallelujah, look, here he comes, the messenger, the one who will suddenly come into his temple. Amen. Go back to verse 1 again if you would. Hallelujah. Even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in. They delighted in the covenant of God. Amen. But he said, look, amen, he's going to come. Hallelujah. Amen. And he will, when he comes, hallelujah, he will bring, amen, a suddenly with him. So we know that, hallelujah, this event that was prophesied by Malachi, amen, that it wasn't very long. Amen, just some years. We already told you about 400 years or so. Amen, that this actual event, amen, came to pass. So it occurred shortly after Malachi gave the prophecy. But you see, it's recorded for us because now, as we read, we understand that it's already been fulfilled. We understand that the Messiah did come. We understand that Jesus was that long-awaited Messiah. He was that one, hallelujah, who would come to bring peace to the world, and the government would be upon his shoulders. For we came in the world. Amen. We know, we've heard a lot. Amen. About, praise God, we know the on the Easter Monday. Amen. The day after resurrection. And we've heard a lot. Amen. A buzz and a lot of things that have been spoken. Amen. There's even a man who has spoken out. Many of you probably heard him. Amen. And this man who has given himself the name Abdullah Hashim, amen, claims that he is the successor to Simon Peter, and the successor also declares that he is the true and legitimate Pope. He is also the anticipated Mahdi for to Jesus Christ. The Muslim religion, what is the Mahdi that they have been waiting on? But what's interesting is here, he says that he is the successor to Peter. Hallelujah. He says he is the successor to Jesus Christ. Claims that he is the true and legitimate Pope. But he's also the Messiah for the Muslim religion. Well, you can't have your cake and eat it too. My question is, make up your mind, my friend. Which one are you going? Are you going to serve Abdullah? Amen. In the Muslim is interpreted servant of Allah. So are you going to serve Allah? Are you going to worship Mary? Or are you going to worship, amen, the one true living God? Somebody better help me in this place. And it's got a lot of people all bent out of shape. But the word says, it's been spoken and written, that in the last days there will be many that will rise and call themselves the one. But I'm so glad this morning that the one has already came. And we talked this morning as we celebrated last Sunday, and we remembered he died once and for all mankind, even Abdullah Hashim. And you know what? It's interesting that he gave himself the first first name. That means amen, servant of Allah. Hashem means the name in the Hebrew. It's the name. It's what the Jews refer to. Amen. God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is Hashem. It's interesting, hallelujah, that he gave himself that kind of name. But I'm here to tell you, Jesus died once and for all. He went in the grave. He laid there 3 days, 3 nights. Sometime in the middle, amen, early morning between 3 and 6 o'clock on the first day of the week, the stone was rolled away and Jesus wasn't there. He rose up out of that grave. About 37 days later, he stood on the tip of the Mount of Olives and he said, "People, I gotta go away. I'd love to stay with you, but I can't. But if I go away, I've been praying that God will send you another comforter. And if you tarry here in Jerusalem until he comes, you'll be all right." Hallelujah. And if you see me go at this point, rest assured that if I go back to the Father, I'm going to come back again and receive you unto myself. Hallelujah. Look, here he comes. There'll be many rise up in a false Messiah, but there's only one who is seated at the right hand of the Father. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm trying to lay a foundation. I'm getting too emotional. So I want you to hear this ongoing prophecy here in Malachi 3. The event happened. Jesus came just like it was prophesied.
Yes. Hallelujah.
I'll stay with me. But it's recorded for us because there's going to be a future event that's going to be similar to this that's going to take place.
Okay. Bring it.
He's going to come a second time. And let me remind you that Jesus will return. He is coming back. And he's coming back for his bride. And his bride will be without spot and without wrinkle. He is coming for his bride adorned.
Yes.
And ready for the bridegroom.
All right.
Yes. So this is an ongoing prophecy because there was a fulfillment in that time that it was given, but also a picture of a future event. Now I want us to look here. Take me back to verse 2, please. Okay. Sorry. Sometimes my brain just feels like you know where I'm going and you don't. Sometimes I don't know where I'm going. So we know that this was prophetic, right? Prophecy of Jesus, the Messiah, coming. And we know that he did come. And so the question is asked, now when he comes, who will abide that day of his coming? Now, if we look at the word coming, it's the Hebrew word bo, simply B-O. It's the Hebrew word bo. It means to fall upon or even attack. So if we read it in its context and as it's translated in the original text, we would say, who can abide when the Lord falls upon you or attacks you? So who can abide when the Lord falls upon you or the Lord attacks you? See, using the English word here, coming, is really not the best word because this word coming implies making an appearance. Jesus didn't just make an appearance. Are you with me? This word coming, if I tell you I'm coming, then that means I'm going to make an appearance.
Right.
Correct? Right? When we use that English word, I'm coming to your house. That means I'm going to make an appearance at your house.
Mm-hmm.
So using the English word here, coming, is really not the best word. Because actually the Lord is here now.
You better know it.
He was there then.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, come on. Hallelujah. Actually, the Lord is here now, so he doesn't need to make an appearance.
Mm-hmm.
Are you with me? He doesn't need to make an appearance. But it sure would be nice if he fall upon us. Come on. Lord, fall in this place. Let your presence fall upon us today. Come on, right? It sure would be nice, amen, if he would fall upon us. Then again, maybe it would not be so nice. Maybe it wouldn't be so nice, because if he falls upon us, we get all his glory and all of his holiness, and that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? Are you with me? But what if there's sin? What if something's not right when he falls upon us? When his glory and his holiness falls upon us. What if there's something that's not right? What if there's sin? Now here's what you got to understand. The word sin in Hebrew is the word chatah. It means to simply miss the mark or to fail. Amen? So we understand, praise God, that there's certainly, amen, a transgression, amen, against the divine law or a moral offense against God. Amen, there are blatant sins. But can I tell you, amen, I heard a preacher the other day stand up and say he's been saved, I don't know how many years now, it's been several years that he's been saved, amen, decades, and hallelujah, praise God, I think 15 years maybe, or I don't know, something like that, praise God, but he said, ever since I've been saved, I've never sinned. Sin is a heart attack, he was. I've never been offended since I got saved.
Wow.
What? I was like,
what else do you say?
You don't want to know what else to
say. You have to say something.
I would love to tell you, since I got saved, since I made that confession, that I have not sinned. But I would be sinning.
Right.
Because that's a lie.
Right.
And so, although I don't blatantly go out and commit moral offenses against the law of God, I don't murder, I don't steal, I don't defend, amen, praise God, or take, or you understand what I'm saying, praise God, amen, but I can tell you that oftentimes I miss the mark in my own life. In the place that my life is, and in the area of my relationship with God, I do miss the mark, and I fail, praise God, hallelujah, but let me reiterate right there real quick, in case you don't know, that's the good thing about Jesus being seated at the right hand of God, hallelujah, because that is our assurance that if we fail, amen, God, don't you know God the world is God knows it would be much better if once we got saved we didn't fail. Hallelujah, praise God. But you know what? He knew that we would. So we have a mediator, an advocate with our God. His name is Jesus. He stands as our defense attorney. Amen, praise God. And he stands in our place. And so when I fail, when I mess up, I recognize it and I see it. It might even take me a little longer some days than it does others. But I see my failure, amen, and then I repent, amen, and purpose to not go do it again. And then I get up and I keep moving toward, hallelujah, winning this race. So that's the difference, amen. And sometimes, hallelujah, you got to remember, amen, that sin is not just committing a moral offense against God, amen, but there's also thoughts and actions and attitudes that goes against God's standards, that goes against what God has laid out for us to live a life free from turmoil and chaos. Hallelujah. will operate in our lives. Hallelujah. So when he does show up, amen, who shall abide in the day that he falls upon us? When his glory and his holiness falls upon us. Hallelujah. Can I tell you, light and darkness cannot mix. Hallelujah. So our sins, here's two things. When we have sin in our lives, here's two things. The sin will either be cleaned or it'll hinder any covenant protection from God. And that is the consequence of that sin. Are you with me? You got two choices. When you mess up, when you miss the mark, or if you've got sin in your life, you got two choices. Come clean and let it, amen, be cleaned by the blood of Jesus. Amen. Or let that sin hinder the covenant favor and protection of God as a consequence of that sin. It's that simple. So now he's saying, when his holiness and his glory falls upon us, who can abide? Will there be anything there, you hang with me, that will hinder the favor of his glory? And then he said, who can abide? Go back there to that again. You might as well keep it up for a bit. Who can abide the day of his coming? He didn't just make an appearance and then go back. His coming was, I will get there in a minute. So it says, who can abide that day that he falls upon us? Who can abide? That word abide in the Hebrew, amen, is the Hebrew word cool, spelled with a K. Like the, you guys saw that?
Yeah.
Somebody knows?
Yeah.
I don't know. But that K-O-O-L, cool. So, who will abide is the word cool in the Hebrew. It means to seize or to contain or to measure up. So, when you talk about seizing something or containing something, so this is the picture, is one of sheltering. Okay? It is one of protection. So when these events take place, God will fall upon us. He will measure us up. And if we are found worthy and clean, he will protect us.
Thank God for Jesus.
Are you hearing me? So who may abide the day of his coming? So when this prophecy is fulfilled, when these events take place, God will fall upon us. Abide means to seize, to contain, to measure up. And then he will measure us up. Aren't you glad that it's not your responsibility to measure me up? You ought to be glad it ain't my responsibility to measure you up. First of all, you'd be a long line. Because I would give up. Come on, you be waiting on. I'm so glad that I am not accountable. I'm accountable to you for, amen, what I do, amen, in the kingdom, amen, as a pastor. But my life is accountable to him, amen. If I went on how others measured me up, I told you before, I wouldn't even be here preaching today. You wouldn't even be allowed, some of you wouldn't even be allowed to walk in the church door. Amen. As a matter of fact, you've been told before, amen, don't come back. We can't accept people like you. Amen. I'm thankful that, praise God, I don't have to measure up to anyone else's standards. I don't have to measure up to the Church of God, the Pentecostal Church, to the, amen, United Pentecostal Church, to the United Methodist, amen, to the Nazarene, to the Lutheran, to, amen, the Baptist. I'm glad I don't have to measure up, hallelujah, to anything except this word. This is what I measure up to. And this word lets me know when I am out of the will of God. And it's up to me to allow that word to measure. So he's saying, when the Lord falls upon you, hallelujah, he'll measure you up. And if he finds you worthy. And if he finds you clean, then he will protect you. He will shelter you. He will provide for you. It's called covenant favor. Hallelujah. They already understood the covenant. Are you with me today? I'm going somewhere. Then he goes on to say, who shall stand when he appears? That word stand is the Hebrew word amad. It means to stand in support of something. So simply put in hillbilly terms, covenant favor comes for those who stand in support with God.
You better talk right in here.
So when you stand in support with God, his word, his holiness, his righteousness, his ways, hallelujah, guess what? Covenant favor comes over you. Hallelujah, protection. See, covenant is more than just the desire to connect. Covenant is more than I want to. Covenant, praise God, requires death to self. See, God already provided that on his end when Jesus died. Amen, and willingly we already sang it. Praise God, he went to the cross. It was his decision to go to the cross. The Jews didn't put him on the cross. Nobody put him on the cross but himself. He chose. He decided, I'll go. I'll do it. Are you with me? So God already done his end on the covenant. Now we got to, amen, give death to ourselves and say, yes, Lord, I give you everything that I am. I give you all of me. So the events, let me tell you, where the natural consequences of sin are about to fall in the earth. The natural consequences of sin are about to fall on the earth. Now, where you are in covenant will decide whether it's justice or judgment.
Come on, top right.
Come on. See, because justice, amen, when the judgment falls, it'll be judgment. But it's justice for those, hallelujah, who have put their life in the hands of, amen, the Savior of God, the blood of Jesus, who justifies us. That means even though the judgment will come, hallelujah, justice says, I will protect you. I will cover you. That when I fall upon the earth, come on somebody, do you hear me? Hallelujah, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Hallelujah, Noah found grace, favor in the eyes of the Lord, and the Lord gave him an ark of protection. Hallelujah, God's going to cover his people. Hallelujah, in the events and things that are happening and coming, we don't have to fear and we don't have to worry. Come on, all we have to do is be prepared. All we got to do is be before him and say, God, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. All as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Clean our house and keep our temples. Hallelujah, where they need to be according to the will of God for our lives. And guess what? He will protect us. Because it's coming. I don't know what all is coming, when it's coming, but I know things are coming. They're already here. We've already seen things. Listen to me. Listen, listen. This is exactly why we are going through the things we're going through. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Amen. I'm about to get, amen, there, but this is why. Amen. We have found it. Hey, praise God. It's so difficult. Amen. To just function. Amen. In life. Are you with me? Am I the only one? Hallelujah. Praise God. In this season and in this time of stripping and this time of purging and this time of refining. Hallelujah. Everything is an effort. Things that you used to be able to just do. Amen. They were just, amen, everyday things. Now everything is an effort. And when everything requires effort. It can become overwhelming. Amen. And then everything about your life is overwhelming. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Maybe I'm the only one that's there. Hallelujah. But sometimes just having to shave is an effort. And I'm not depressed. It's not about being depressed. It's just, I hate shaving and I wish I didn't have to. And it's an effort to shave. And sometimes the only reason I do is because I got to come here with you. If I'm telling you the truth. Fixing breakfast, eating breakfast is an effort.
Ugh. I'm praying for you, Louie.
Must not be much of an effort. But here's the thing. When you're trying to take care of your body and your temple, come on. And you know in your life what that means. It takes more effort to make breakfast healthy. So then it's easier to just walk to the pantry and get something that's processed and full. Amen. Of preservatives. That's going to put poison in your body. That's not going to, that's going to make you, amen, as the day goes, feel like that everything's like this. So you already woke up feeling like, amen, everything was like that. Now you're putting junk in your body. Amen. That's going to make you sluggish and slow you down. Then you get to lunch. Hallelujah. And the effort, you know what? I don't even feel like it. Oh, there's a bag of chips that at least, amen, curb my hunger. So then you eat. Are you with me? Am I the only one that's there? Because it takes effort. If you want to do it right, you got to spend time prepping. Amen. Amen. Going to the store, spending the, making the sacrifice to spend the money to buy the healthier food, to buy things that's better for your body. Then you got to take the time, amen, to prepare it and have it ready while you're dealing with all the other stuff, amen, in everyday life. And don't even let something come out of the blue and knock you sideways, because then you don't even feel like doing anything. See, the world calls it depression. I ain't depressed, because I'll tell you what, there ain't a medicine that would take care of what's going on in my spiritual life right now. But I'll tell you what, greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. And I ain't got nobody to blame when I eat sloppy other than myself. Are you with me? Now let's take that spiritually. It takes time. When you already, amen, takes an effort just to get up. Hallelujah. Face the day. Let alone going to the secret place and spending time in prayer. Going to the Word and filling your mind with the things of God. Hallelujah. It becomes easier to sit on your Facebook, on your phone, and scroll and look at how good it's going for everybody else. And the illusion that life is good for the majority of people, but for you, it's falling apart. Then you start paying the price. You start eating crappy stuff instead of that which is good for you. Forgive me for saying that word if it offended you. But you eat junk. Amen. You take in everybody else's opinions, everybody else's ideology, without spending time in prayer with the Word. And now your spirit is in an unhealthy condition.
100%.
And by this time, everybody gets on your nerves. People you don't even know get on your nerves. But especially the people you love. So you gotta make the decision We need to sell that.
It's all right.
Those days, like, oh boy, I shouldn't have to tie my shoe. I'm not kidding, I'm just being honest with you. Hey, I'm the only one. I'm talking to me, I'm being honest with you. It's where I've been, where I'm at, seriously. Everything together. And then, when something breaks, or something falls apart, or somebody falls apart, or somebody needs your wife's counsel, right? You got it.
Right.
Yeah.
Because you know the truth. It ain't that it ain't the truth. It's just it's such an effort.
Yeah.
Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And that's what the enemy is wanting us to get to.
Yeah.
That we become so weary and so worn out that we allow ourselves to take in and digest things in our spirit that calls us to be spiritually uneven and imbalanced. Because we know it's the blood of the Lamb that brings us into righteousness.
Yeah.
Right? We know that. And the Bible says that His bride should be without spot, wrinkle, and without blemish. That's the condition that His bride must be in when He suddenly comes again.
Yeah.
Right? This ongoing prophecy that it was going to be fulfilled within that time, but it's also a picture of a future event. So while this is not prophesied specifically, precisely about the second coming of the Lord, we now can see it in that perspective as a future event. Yeah. Are you with me?
Yes.
So now, who shall stand with Him? Who shall stand and support Him when He appears? Now, we've been talked about His coming, and His coming is not making an appearance. It is a falling upon, almost like an attack.
Yeah.
No, hallelujah. So that word appeareth in the Hebrew is the word, Hebrew word ra'ah. And it means seeing both physically and or spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
So it's literally or figuratively. So it can be either literally or spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we already decided that His coming is not a making an appearance. So we can conclude that this is not a physical thing. This is not seeing Him physically. Are you with me?
Yeah.
So, really, a better English word for that word appear would be discern or distinguish.
Okay.
So, who shall stand and support Him when He comes or He appears or He spiritually? So, who will show their support when the Lord discerns or distinguishes who's going to receive His protection?
Okay.
So who's going to stand and support Him when the time comes for Him to discern, to see spiritually that appearing when He comes, when He falls upon us and appears or distinguishes or discerns who is going to receive that favor, that protection? Look at your neighbor and say, we need protection in this day. We need protection in this day. Guess what? The government ain't gonna give it to you.
You better know it.
I ain't saying nothing against the government, gotta watch myself. And I ain't saying nothing negative against the government, just telling you the government never has been able to give us the protection that God promises in His covenant. Are you hearing me? Being in the right, being in specific church or something, and I won't give you that protection. So he says, when this event happens, when he comes and when he falls upon us, will there be anything there that will hinder the protection? And who will be standing in support of him as he discerns or distinguishes who's going to receive that protection? Are you hearing me? Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
I'm trying to make it make sense.
Okay.
So when we put this in context now of a future event, because I could stand, see, here's the thing. I could stand on the street corner today. No, they might pick me up and wrap me in a straitjacket. But I could rightfully stand on the corner, look up to the sky, point my finger, and say, look, here he comes.
Yeah.
And be accurate.
Because
of that ongoing prophecy that was not only an event that took place in that time, but it's also the picture of a future event. So even when I don't feel him, even when I can't see him, even when I don't discern that he is working for me, I can stand in the face of adversity and I can say, look, here he comes. Hallelujah. Why? Because he said, when I show up, he's here. Right? He is here now. So when I show up and my glory falls on you, I'll go with you all the way, even to the end of the earth. Hallelujah. Even if you decide to make your bed in hell, I'm there with you. Are you hearing me? Look at your neighbor and say, look, here he comes. But now here's where the Lord spoke to my spirit. For this message today, you know I'm all about context. I need you to get that context and what's happening here. Because you have so many voices telling you today that you can do anything you want with it any way you want and call yourself a Christian. Can I tell you, Jesus did not die. Jesus did not come to bring religion. Jesus did not come to bring religion. He came to bring the created back in relationship with the Creator. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? Praise God. Listen to me. Hallelujah. And he said, so, why would they ask these questions? See, you would think and say, oh, this Messiah you've been waiting on, this one that this covenant, this message of the covenant that you take delight in, you take delight in this covenant, it's a good thing, but you're going to have to pay a price.
Yep.
Just because you're a Jew and there's covenant doesn't mean it's always going to be in your favor. Because the table has turned now. It's shifting. This Messiah is coming. And he's going to establish my kingdom. Are you with me? So you would think, oh, hallelujah, yes, praise God. Dance, rejoice, because the messenger of the covenant is coming. The Messiah is coming, that which you have waited for. But no, it goes into asking this question, well, who will abide in the day that is coming? Who will be able, who will measure up when he falls upon you? That's what it said. Who will measure up? to where the body needs to contain to measure up. Who will measure up? Who will be contained when he falls upon you? Then it says, who, right? Who is going to stand and support? Who will stand and support with him when he comes to discern who's going to get that protection? Are you with me? Why did they ask that question? Because no matter who it is, no matter what it is, when he comes, he's not going to change who he is for who he falls on.
Come on now.
Are you with me? Because he is like a refiner's fire and a fuller's soap. He is like, so now we see why they're asking the question. Because when he comes, when he falls upon you, who's going to be standing to support him, his truth, his word, his holiness, when he discerns who is worthy of that covenant favor, that protection? Because he is like a refiner's fire. A refiner's fire is anywhere from 1600 to 1800 degrees Fahrenheit. That's for melting silver and gold. That's what a refiner's fire is for. And when that fire, that gold and that silver is put in that fire, the impurities rise to the surface. And then the refiner blows or scrapes off the impurities, leaving a pure metal without blemish. A pure metal without blemish. This is why there's been a common theme among the remnant in God's kingdom. Some of what I just described to you. Trial, hard time, suffering, persecution, confusion, chaos. The wilderness, the darkness, do I need to go on? The struggle, seemingly no way out, is because we're in the refiner's fire.
Yeah.
He's turning up the furnace in the remnant, and he's burning away all of these impurities.
Thank you, Lord.
I never knew I was still so mess up until this season. Come on, somebody. I never knew there was so many little things that could stand in my way of my full relationship with him. Are you with me? Until the refiner's fire. Now, some things coming to the surface. Some of you got some things you thought you got over. But now in this season, and I'm not talking about just a week or 2 days. For me, it's we're going to hit the, we're going to be hitting the 2-year mark here in the next couple of months. 2 years. It ain't been right. Hey, when that you get in that fire, it brings up some things to the surface, and then he scrapes it off. Just when you think you're going to cool down, the fire comes again, and more impurities come. Sometimes he blows it off. But sometimes, dude, he's got to scrape it off.
Hell no.
Because it's heavy. Come on, somebody. It doesn't mean you ain't saved. It ain't got nothing to do with your salvation. That's the blood. Amen. That's what makes you worthy. That's what makes you righteous. That's what makes you clean is the blood of the Lamb. Are you with me? Amen. That's the only reason he's even bothering to put you in the fire. If you ain't washed by the blood, he's not going to put you in the refiner's fire. Because the refiner's fire does not take care of your repentance. Are you with me? That's the blood of the Lamb. Amen. It's these other things, amen, that we might find hiding in our heart. Hallelujah. But here's what I love about it. I come to the, amen, I was thinking the other day, amen, because, man, it gets rough. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm telling you, praise God. It's easy to let your feelings begin to, amen, rub your emotions, amen, when every little thing is an effort, and everywhere you turn requires your assistance, or it requires your brain to think, and you just feel like, you know what, I just don't want to function. I just, right? Come on, are you with me? You can see how the enemy gets people. This is why people turn to addiction. This is why the enemy gets people, amen, to turn to things that give them artificial, amen, a sense of an artificial, amen, feeling of hope and help. Hallelujah. I was thinking the other day, as I was thinking about all the scraping and the blowing and all of the pruning and all of the things that has been happening, and every time I miss it and I mess up, and he's got to turn the fire on again, and I lose my cool, and I say things that I don't want to say, and I react in ways that I don't want to react, and gosh, here comes the fire again, and he's going to have to turn it up. Hallelujah. I was thinking the other day, here's a blessing for me anyway, in all of that. Decides what needs removed from my life. He didn't leave it up to me, because if it were up to me, I'm all right. Come on, somebody. I'm glad that he didn't leave it up to anybody else, but he's the one that decides what needs to be removed from my life. And I'm thankful, because now I don't have to decide what's enough or what isn't enough. Ooh, Lord. Some of you struggle in your relationship with God because of that in the first place.
Yep.
That refiner's fire that brings up the stuff.
Yeah.
And then he said, like fuller's soap. Fuller's is soap. Crazy language things. What was a fuller in the Bible? It was a craftsman.
Yeah.
Who cleaned, whitened, and sometimes dyed cloth, particularly wool.
Okay.
A fuller would take cloth and they would place it in the tub of water. And he would take his feet and he would. Remember the old wringer washers?
Mm-hmm.
Where you take your hands and wash the dirt out? You had to beat that.
Scrub board.
They would take their foot and they would stomp on that piece of cloth. Sometimes they would use a stick or what we might call a bat, and they would beat that cloth in that tub of water, and it would break down the fabric and remove all of the impurities. They would take the raw filthy wool from the sheep and put it in that tub of water. And they would begin to break down so that the impurities would begin to rise from the surface. And aside from those techniques, the fuller would also use soap. That soap would treat the cloth, and it would remove the oil and the dirt and all of the other impurities. That fuller soap was made of vegetable alkali. What we call lye. Do you remember maybe lye soap?
Yeah.
Some of you are too young. But I remember my mom talking about lye soap.
Stinks.
But what's interesting, the way to get that alkaline, that lye, is from the ashes of certain plants. So they would have to burn certain plants and then take that lye. And what that fuller soap would do is it would clean. They would beat the cloth, stomp it to get the impurities, and then they would use the fuller soap to clean it and to whiten it so that it would, or what we might know as bleach it, so that it could be dyed to be the color that it needed to be. That once it was put with other pieces of cloth to make clothing, and they would use the bleached or the clean cloth for cleaning linens and things like that. But not a lot of people wore white. And so they would have to get everything out so that it would be able to take on the color in its purest form that it needed to. So, see what's happening to those of us. And maybe I'm not speaking to everybody today, but if you're not there, and you got your mind set to serve the Lord, buckle up, sweetheart, because it's coming. It has to, because of the time we're living in. There's no way around it. There's no way to escape it. It's never going to be the same anymore. You hear me? It's the times. So those of us who are in that season, what God is doing with the refiner's fire is He's removing the impurities, and then with the fuller soap, He's cleaning us and making us ready. See, He's coming for the bride without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. And when the metal is pure and all the impurities are gone, it is now without blemish. And see, here's the thing. You say, well, I'm never going to be without mistakes or failures. You missed my point. The blood of Jesus has washed you clean.
Right.
And so the key is death to self.
Yeah.
Saying, yes, Lord, do with me. You see, we want all of this stuff that comes with the calling in the kingdom. There's a price to pay.
Yeah.
That's what's happening. Because I don't know when, and I don't know how, and I'm not prophesying nothing, and I'm not doing any kind of translating prophecy or anything. But I believe there's some things coming before the Lord takes us out of here, that if we are not
right
standing in support of him. But he comes to discern and measure us up. We're going to have to suffer the consequences. And so what God's doing now is really his favor. It's his grace. It's his mercy. Because now he's purifying. He's cleansing those of that remnant, making us see. You say, well, I'll never be without blemish, not in your eyes. But it's not your eyes that does the measuring.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Come on. He's the one. Your key is to stay where he can measure you.
Come on, talk right.
Making that cloth white, cleaning, washing with the water of the word. Let's look at Mark chapter 9, verse 3. I'm about to finish up here. Remember when Jesus was transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration? It said his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them. So in other words, it couldn't get any whiter.
Right.
God's the one who decides when it's white enough. Mm-hmm. He's the one. That's why the refiner's fire, he's cleansing, he's purifying, he's cleaning. And it's the blood that makes us white and cleanses us. So when we speak of this ongoing prophecy, there were people who died in the Old Testament believing. Right? They died in the faith believing. This was before the cross and before the blood of Jesus. But at the time that Malachi was being written, the death of Jesus had, was, and will occur. So, even though Jesus had not came yet, from where God was, it had already been done. Are you hearing me? That's the key of this ongoing prophecy. So they were saved. Here's the thing. They were saved the same way you and I are. By the blood of Jesus. They just happened to die before he came. But he came because it was already written to be accomplished. Are you with me? Amen. So they were saved the same way as us, only a different application. It was still the blood. So here's the thing. The cleansing blood of Jesus is occurring right now, just as it was when Malachi was written. So even though it had not happened, it was going to happen. Because here's the thing. See, time for us is linear. We see time on a timeline. Yesterday, today, tomorrow, the next day, last year, the year before that, this year, next year, we just keep going down the line. God had to set it up that way for us to be able to comprehend it. But I've told you before, and I want to tell you again today, that time is circular from God's point of view.
Okay.
It's not linear. Well, this happened last year, and or this is supposed to happen next year or next week. So God's timing, where he is being circular, means the past, present, and future are all occurring at one time. Are you with me? That's why goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. So that's why God will take your past and he'll work it in your present to make your future even better. And so the past, the present, and the future is occurring all at the same time. That's why a day is as 1,000 years with God. Because one day to us is from here to here. But to God, it's just happening. Amen? It feels like, praise God, 1,000 years for us. Amen? As we count down the line. But with God, it's the same day. Are you hearing me? Praise God. Because, amen, that's why we can say, amen, that no matter where we are in life, the Lord is coming. No matter where we are in our life, amen, He's in our past. He's in our present and He's in our future. So no matter what's going on, if it's something of our past that's been brought up, He was there. Hallelujah. We may not have known Him, but He was there. But He was already in our today. Amen. When we were in 2 years ago, He was already there. Amen. So no matter where we are in life, the Lord is coming. That's why God sees the time. Amen. After His literal second coming. Amen. I don't know the day or the hour. Jesus said, I don't. Not even the angels in heaven, but God knows. Amen. So we can be at any moment. So while we're going through all of this, if we position ourselves, amen, in the cleaning and the cleansing and in the refiner's fire, and we let Him work in us, hallelujah, He could come at any moment. Because from where God is, He's already got us and taken us there. Are you with me? Hallelujah. But we have to understand what God is doing. See, the cleansing process isn't pleasant. Taking that soap, getting rid so that He can make us that bride without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. It's Him who decides when it's white enough. So at any moment, that's why you have to be ready at any moment, because the hour that you think not, He's coming. That's why we have to live every day as if He's coming at any moment. This is why the enemy wants to get us all distracted, catch us all off guard, get us all away from the things that keep our heart in the right posture. Because when we can stand in the midst of the refining and the cleansing and the purifying, and look up and say, look, He's coming. Here He comes. Any moment. Any moment. He's going to come. Because from where He is, it's already over. It's already over from where He is. He, His mercy. And when He looks at us and says it can't get any whiter, are you with me? See, the blood cleanses us from our moral sins and failures. Then we've got, when we miss the mark, we got to deal with the things in our heart.
Yeah.
God has to come in and He has to refine us. So that's why it asks the question, who's going to be able to stand in support of Him when He comes to discern who He's going to protect when He falls and His holiness and His glory falls. In the last days, I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. We want it, right? So they said, who's going to be able to withstand that? They'll come to the music. who's going to be able to, who's going to be standing with him in support of him? Because when he comes, when he falls on you, he's like a refiner's fire. And it ain't gonna matter how many messages you preached, how many times you led worship, how many classes you taught, how many hungry people you fed, how many times you showed up, how many times you give. It ain't gonna matter none of that. What's gonna matter is, will we measure up to the word that is set for our lives? I posted it earlier this morning. His holiness will either destroy or transform. And if he comes finding us with sin and things in our life, in this time that we're in, we may find ourselves out from under his sole protection. When he spoke to me and said, I'm visiting my people right now as a refiner's fire and a fuller's soap. I just heard somebody say, I can't think of anything that would stand between, that would hinder the full favor of God in my life. I can't think of anything right away. I probably said that 2 years ago, before all of this started, before everything began to twist and turn. The key is saying, Lord, if there's anything, cleanse me, purify. Make me see. Don't let me go. I pray all the time for the Holy Ghost to convict me. I ask him, please, don't let me go by myself. But convict me where I need convicted. Holy Ghost, bring that conviction. That when he comes to discern and measure up, will he find me worthy without blemish? It's a serious thing, folks. God wants us to be ready. And he's given us all we need. Save me across this place today. Got things, but there's I'm just gonna say, because it is sin when it separates you, when you miss the mark. It's easy to give credit to a demonic spirit or else, other than just sometimes saying, Lord, if it's in my heart, cleanse me. Really, I talked about it. envy and jealousy in our adult class this morning. Lord, if there's anything, if you're here today and you don't know the Lord, if you've never asked the Lord to come into your life, you're not saved. You're going to need the opportunity to come. The work of the refiner and the fuller in your eyes.